Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today, actually from Olympia, Washington at the UFO Fest. It's being transmitted by Skype to my studio at KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. And I'm so happy you're all listening today. Purpose of my program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, and if we all work together, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to make thanks everyone so much for listening today. We have over a quarter of a million listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, it's an incredible conference going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The people here will be Alex Collier, who's a UFO contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, Randy Kramer, who was 20 years with the Secret Space Program, Michi Hayashi, my sweetheart, who's with me here at the Moto Peace Project. She'll be coming on. Scott Mowry, who's an incredibly interesting fellow. He's an investigative reporter and documentary producer. Tyler Barrett, also with the Secret Space Program, and others. For information on this amazing event, please phone 360-458-3140, or you can look them up on Facebook at Yelm UFO Fest. I'll also be interviewing Simon Parks live from England from the fest, UFO Fest, on Sunday, September 2nd. 2019 from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time, and I hope you can all come to this wonderful event. I'd really like to thank Corey and Saul and Corkland for their wonderful support, and I also want to thank them so much for their recent generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. I'd also like to thank my wonderful friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make the world a happier and better place. Earlier this week, Michiko Hayashi and I were in Kalispell in Whitefish, Montana, giving presentations. Wow, what a beautiful place. Met some wonderful people there, and I will be bringing them on the show. Actually, one of them will be coming on the show a little later today. I'd also like to thank many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. So if you'd like to advertise on the show, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150 at gmail.com. Also, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website and has been providing for support, wonderful support, for nearly 6 years now. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW and Eric, without whose support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. On the new library for the Hopi Indians, there's something like almost 20,000 people who are living on the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, and they don't have a functioning library. So I'm raising books and monies and computers for this new library. And if you'd like to donate books or donate maybe an old computer or make a donation toward this worthy goal, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I know if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. Eric, if you could play the Twilight Zone segment for my next piece, that would be great, just for a minute or two. While Eric's getting that on, here we go.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
That, of course, is the theme song for The Twilight Zone by Rod Sterling. But I want to tell you, next week I'll be going to Mount Shasta in California again, and that is a fifth-dimensional civilization. The civilization underneath Mount Shasta is a Lemurian civilization. It's been there 12,500 years. They're humans like us, except they exist in the fifth and higher dimensions. And you may ask, well, what's a fifth-dimensional civilization like? Well, when you're there, Everyone communicates telepathically. They have their own own sun, artificial sun inside the Earth. The city of Telos is about 100 miles beneath Mount Shasta, and they're really beautiful people. They escaped there after much of the planet was blown up in a nuclear and crystalline war instigated by the Atlanteans 12,500 years ago. And they've been coming out and contacting us here on the surface to help us evolve, which is so beautiful. I go down there twice a year. My next trip will be September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is one of the world's most spiritual places. We also see lots of Sasquatch around there. During our last trip in July, there was one juvenile Sasquatch who kept stealing our food, but I worked out a binding legal agreement with them now that in exchange for 10 cinnamon rolls per day, they'll leave us alone. So anyway, that's sort of a joke, but they do like the cinnamon rolls and they always take them. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. And one of the miracle things that happens at Mount Shasta is that there are many, many miracle healings. For example, last September I was there, and for many decades I had had 20/50 blurry farsighted vision in my right eye. And one night Adama, who's the high priest of Telos, contacted me and he said, "Ted, you can see things in third dimension now very clearly spiritually. In the fifth dimension you can see things very clearly spiritually. How would you like to see clearly again in the third dimension?" I said, "Of course I'd love to." So he gave me a healing, and now my eyesight in both eyes is 20/10 crystal clear vision. And there's been other miracles that happen up there too. 2 years ago, a lady named Tammy from Minnesota was given a new set of blades. She'd been crippled for decades, and another man was cured of Lou Gehrig's disease. Finally, the first time I went there in September of 2016, there was a lady who had fibromyalgia but she was completely cured of this debilitating disease after she was taken by the Telosians in the Telos and bathed in a bath of golden healing light. On our last trip in July to Mount Shasta, the admiral in charge of all the 2 million plus Pleiadian ships came down to visit us at our campsite. You could actually see him shimmering in the light behind next to the campsite, and he explained that he and his ships will be here through the ascension process here on planet Earth, and they're helping us as much as they can with the ascension. This is an exciting time to be alive on the planet, and if you'd like to go and meet Sasquatch, meet the people of Telos, and see lots of UFOs flying around, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. If you missed this trip, don't worry, I'll be going back again next year in early July, from July 1st to July 8th, 2020, and then again in early September 2020. Mount Shasta is a very special and beautiful place, and I hope you can come sometime. As I mentioned, I'm also continuing to raise my raise funds for clean water for both the Hopi and the Navajo Indians in Arizona, as well as a new library for the Hopi. The water on both the Hopi and Navajo Indians have been contaminated for decades by arsenic and carcinogenic radiation. But thanks to the help of the Seattle-based Clean Water Foundation and Martha Chowders of the Natural Choice Foods, Clean Water Filters and myself, Clean Water Filters are now being provided to both the Hopi and Navajo Indians. I especially want to thank Teresa from Idaho for donating $30,000 to these efforts to provide clean water filters to the Hopi. For only $125, a new clean water filter can be purchased for either the Hopi or the Navajo, so they can have clean water without arsenic or radiation for years. The manufacturer of these clean water filters are supplying these clean water filters to them at their cost, and 100% of all monies donated go directly to these beautiful people. If you'd like to donate toward this worthy effort, please email me at outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. All donations toward the cost of these clean water filters, are fully tax deductible. Also, I wanted to tell you that today, tomorrow, and Sunday, I will be at this UFO Fest down here in Olympia, Washington. It's about an hour south of Seattle on the west coast of North America. I'll be giving a presentation this afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m., followed by a presentation by my sweetheart, Michiko Hayashi, who will be giving a presentation on the messages from water and the healing power of water from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. And then tomorrow, on Saturday, August 31st, Michi will also be giving a presentation from 12 noon to 2 p.m. All the presentations are free, and I hope you can come. I also will be giving psychic readings during this weekend, so if you're at the UFO Fair and like to come down, please stop by. Michi, I think, will be giving Hato sessions as well, in which case she'll be using the same technology that Dr. Emoto used to use before he passed away in October 2014. The technology creates the person puts their hand on a special Hato electronic device. It finds the correct vibration for that person to help diagnose and help the person with almost any physical or spiritual condition, and then they simply drink the water. It's a pretty simple process, but it's a very effective process too. Finally, on Saturday, September 14th, I'll be hosting my own Galactic Wisdom Fair at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington. The event's free, and I hope you can come. I myself will be giving readings along with crystal sellers and aura readings and many spiritual people. If you'd like to come, just show up. It's free, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I'll also be giving a presentation on Tom Palladino's wonderful scalar energy healing program. Next, what I'd love to do, Eric, if you could please play El Condor Pasa for 1 or 2 minutes, and then I'd like to talk about my next event. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that beautiful song. I wanted to tell everybody that from January 23rd to February 7th, 2020, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu, among other fascinating sites. We'll also be visiting Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac in the Sacred Valley, Puno and Lake Titicaca, the Nazca Lines, and Paracas, which has a museum of hybrid human/extraterrestrial skulls. We also will be meeting local Inca shaman who will be giving healing sessions for those who want it, as well as, if there's time, we'll be visiting Rainbow Mountain, which is one of the world's incredible, most beautiful mountains, with reds, oranges, yellows, and other beautiful colors. Side trips will also be available for those who want to go into the Amazon jungle, as well as other archaeological sites near the Nazca Lines to see extraterrestrial skulls and UFOs. I guarantee, my friends, this trip will really be out of this world. The cost is only $497, with airfare and accommodations extra. Psychic readings from myself will also be available, and I'll also be giving free classes on contacting the ancient Inca and spirits and angels on the other side. This is a perfect time to go, with January and February being the summer months in Peru. And recently, round-trip airfares from Vancouver, Canada, to Lima, Peru, were as low as $216 U.S. dollars round trip. It's also possible to visit the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu. I've been told by my friends in the Hollow Earth how to access it and how to get in, but you have to be of the highest vibration and not eat meat for at least 3 weeks before the trip. If you fly on either Aeromexico or Interjet down to Peru, they usually have a day layover in Mexico City. And Mexico City is a wonderful place where you can visit the Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon. And for those who'd like to do that, please contact me, and I'd be happy to meet you in Mexico City, and we could visit these incredible places. But anyway, there's a lot of wonderful things coming up, and I wanted to tell everyone about that. My interview that I'll be playing for the next 20 or 25 minutes is a lady named Ashley, who's a specialist in human design, astrology, and the Michael Life Path. I interviewed her yesterday in Kalispell, Montana. And it's a fascinating interview because in 1996, she was studying remote viewing with Courtney Brown of the Farsight Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. And she was asked to remote view President Eisenhower and his agreement with the reptilians in 1954. And in March of 54, President Eisenhower met with a group of tyrannical negative aliens called the Greys and Reptilians in exchange for some of their technology to fight the Russians at the time. Eisenhower agreed to let them abduct and study us. Since that agreement was signed, 6 million people have been abducted and taken off planet by the reptilians, with only 1.5 million returned. Of those taken, these poor people were either eaten as food by the reptilians or sold into forced into slavery. But good news is that the U.S. military has now been breaking ties with the negative reptilians during the past 2 or 3 years, and they are now collaborating with the Galactic Alliance. The Galactic Alliance is an alliance of benevolent, mostly human extraterrestrials. They are up to 100,000 years ahead of us technologically, and between 30 and 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. A few minutes before the reptilians visited President Eisenhower in March of 54, the Pleiadians actually met with President Eisenhower and offered to help us evolve spiritually and create a better planet. But they wanted us also to get rid of all our nuclear weapons. And Richard Nixon, Eisenhower's vice president, was against it because he had many friends in the armaments industry, and he believed in getting it was better to have more weapons for the United States. It's an unfortunate choice, but as we're ascending into the higher dimensions, we've had several opportunities to ascend since World War II, and this interview with Ashiya Shahs gives a fascinating glimpse into the mind of President Eisenhower when he signed this treaty with the reptilians in March of 54. So, Eric, if we could play this interview, please, now. And then I'll come back when it's over. It's about 20, 25 minutes. Hello, friends. I'm in Kalispell, Montana today with Ayesha Ashley. She's a remote viewer, human design specialist, and a psychic. Just an absolutely fascinating person. I'm thanking you so much for coming on my show today.
Well, thanks, Ted. I loved your book, and I loved your lecture. It was really inspiring.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it. I love Kalispell, and it's such a beautiful area. The energy is so high here.
I think it's because we have that vortex that you went to see the other day. It's got a 42-mile radius, and we're within that. And the energies of the vortex are really extraordinary.
Where does it extend from Kalispell to where? East or west, 42 miles?
It's a radius, so it's a circle.
Oh, it's a circle.
It includes Glacier Park as well.
I see. And Flathead Lake?
Oh, yeah.
And Polson and all those different communities.
Yeah, I think that's near the end of it, yeah.
I see. Wow, no wonder the vibrations are so high.
Very high here.
We have a lot of things I want to go over with you today. The first thing is that you did a remote viewing session with Courtney Brown.
Yes.
When was that?
Let's see, I took his course in 96 in Atlanta. And this was a session I did. You know how remote viewing goes. You get to sit looking at a white wall and no interference. You get a paper in front of you and a pen. And they give you four numbers that are generated by a random number generator. And that's your target. And neither the one giving the numbers or the one receiving knows what the target is until afterwards.
I see.
And this session that I did, the one that you're interested in, was one where I was at home. The students would give each other sessions at home because we had to practice when the course was over. You have to keep your technique moving.
Okay, and what was your target, and then what happened?
Well, of course, you don't know your target until, you know, at the end. But I was living in a house with other people, and I remember getting the coordinates and starting the reading and getting furious, more and more and more furious during this whole thing, which that doesn't usually happen. And I had visions of the Oval Office, so I knew that
of the president.
Which one?
Eisenhower.
Okay. So I knew it was a president that I was talking to, and that there was a conference going on, and there was a lot of back and forth, and apparently an agreement was reached. But I ended up inside Eisenhower. I don't know. You don't know where you're going to end up. Sometimes you're an observer. Sometimes you're inside. Well, I ended up inside Eisenhower, and for the rest of the day, I was furious.
Inside his mind?
Inside him, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, I could have been observing, but I was inside him.
Okay.
And I understood that he was being basically threatened by draconian reptilian aliens.
Okay.
And basically it was, you know, this is what we would like you to agree to. If you don't, you know, we can destroy you. We have the ability. And he, being a warrior as he was, was feeling powerless and absolutely outraged at this.
What details did they give the reptilians in terms of destruction?
I don't have a lot of detail. I just know the minute I got inside of Eisenhower, I was overcome by fury.
I see.
And, that's what I remember.
Do you have a date of this meeting, approximately?
We don't have dates there's no time in remote viewing. You just get an event, you know, like Baptism of Christ or something like that, that an event that happened, but we don't have dates. So it was during Eisenhower's administration, because that's why I got the Oval Office.
Okay.
He was still president.
All right. So he was angry for how long?
Oh, I stayed angry. What happened was I didn't realize I was that furious until the other people in the house were talking, and I stormed out of my room, and I said, I'm trying to do a reading here. And I don't normally act like that. And they looked surprised. And afterwards, after the reading was over and I put my pen down and I realized what the reading was, you know, confrontation between Eisenhower and aliens. I put the pen down and realized that I had to control my anger, because I wasn't Eisenhower with aliens. I was living amongst people, and they had no reason to be yelled at. But I stayed angry for quite a while after that.
I've heard the dates that I've heard was March 1954.
That would make sense.
Eisenhower had gone to Edwards Air Force Base to meet with reptilians, and they had offered technology to fight the Soviet Union at the time. That in exchange for this technology, that they would be allowed to abduct and study us.
Yeah.
And he didn't like him, didn't feel comfortable with the agreement. The other details that I had heard as well is that if he didn't agree to it, that the reptilians would give the technology to the Soviets and they would become the preeminent power on planet Earth.
But according to your book, they also gave it to the Soviets.
Right.
Nice people. Yeah.
Right. They gave it to both the Soviets and the Americans. And the other problem, of course, is that this is the first time that I've heard, and thank you for sharing this, the first time that the reptilians had threatened him with destruction and civilization with destruction if he hadn't signed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time, of all of the many SRV readings I've done, this is the one that stands out to me for obvious reasons, because it truly gripped me.
Wow.
Wow. I never had a reaction like that. Uh-huh. And so it's interesting that this is an interesting one for you.
The name of it is called the Treaty of Merida. And it was a legal treaty. And it's never been ratified by Congress. Eisenhower, I know, in his secret society speech in 1959, that's in my book, A Message from the Masters. But in that speech, he had sent a representative to Area 51, where the technology transfer was going on between the reptilians and the U.S. military, and he was refused entry.
That's right.
And so as a result of that, he contemplated sending the 6th Army from Denver into Area 51 to take it over forcibly. Only then did the reptilians and the humans involved with the reptilians then actually agree to the it's an agreement that most Americans don't know about, but which has changed our history.
Right.
The reptilians feed off of war, negativity, and conflict. And one of the things that they did to us since that time is to implant us with negative implants.
Right.
To cause us to be fighting, to get off of our evolutionary path, because we were supposed to evolve and shift into the fifth dimension by now. But we were hijacked by this agreement with the reptilians and hijacked by the cabal,
right?
Including Lyndon Baines Johnson, who helped murder President Kennedy back in the 60s. George Bush would have never become president if history had gone the way it should have gone.
Right.
But
right.
No matter. But we are starting to ascend now, yeah. which is a good thing. I wanted to ask you, too. I've been told that Eisenhower was mind-controlled by the reptilians. They have that technology. Did you pick up anything other emotions other than being angry?
No. At that time, he was furious.
Okay.
I never went back. I never got another target to go back and mm-hmm. see how he was.
Sure.
But it's interesting what you say about the negative emotions. Gurdjieff, my first spiritual teacher, used to say that your negative emotions feed the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that the negative emotions, that you should avoid them because they feed the negative forces around us. And he was very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And this was almost 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. After, I know that from what I've been told, President Eisenhower met with President Kennedy twice just before he assumed office.
Uh-huh.
In December of 59, I think, or December 60 in the early days of 60 or 61. And he told President Kennedy about this agreement at that time. Mm. And so the other thing too, and I don't know if you're picking up anything on this, but I was told that President Eisenhower knew about the assassination of President Kennedy before it happened, but was warned not to try to stop or else he would be murdered along with his family. So it kind of fits.
Yeah.
I think he's had a lot of regrets.
Yeah, none of that surprises me, considering what we know about
right.
The
cabal.
The swamp.
the cabal and everything. Johnson was actually being indicted for murder in Texas at the time in November of 63 when President Kennedy was killed.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I'm told that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, was sworn in as president on Air Force One back to Washington, D.C. that day with Jackie
right.
Kennedy next to him is because he wanted to become president that day so that they couldn't indict him for murder, not even a day later. He was in a hurry. And one of the pictures I saw, too, was, what's her name, Lady Bird Johnson, his wife. And she was laughing and giddy and smiling on Air Force One on the flight back to D.C. because now John F. Kennedy was dead. And they were no longer a threat to Johnson. So there's a lot of things that's been covered up by the media about this whole event. Other than anger, have you picked up anything? Did you pick up any other emotions from President Eisenhower?
Well, a sense of outrage. I mean, how could this be happening? You know,
mm-hmm.
Also the secrecy about aliens. I mean, this was an unexpected thing. Nobody knew about it at the time. And so to have these beings come in with all their power, obviously showing him that, you know, he was nothing and they had everything,
mm-hmm.
and he better listen.
I see.
I mean, kind of a shock and then a fury. Yeah.
As part of that agreement, was he required to be quiet about the whole thing?
Keep it quiet? Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for one thing, we were the leading power at that time after World War. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to admit that we were being led by alien influences, I mean...
A tyrannical
influence. Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, right. Even now they don't let us know about disclosure.
I know I know it. And they don't even let us talk about Area 51.
Mm-mm.
There's a group of people, of course, planning on storming Area 51 in September. But
there's signs everywhere saying you will be shot.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If a lot of people do go there, and if they are harmed, that could cause a revolution in this country.
Wow. It's very isolated. I used to live in Las Vegas, and mm-hmm. Area 51 is so isolated. I mean, you can drive by the highway and not even notice it.
Right, right.
And so I don't know, but I hope they'll be safe.
Yeah, it brings up a lot of issues regarding, you know, what's the definition of a free country? How much power do we have over our government? Whether there are, I know there's a cabal within a cabal. There's a cabal and there's factions of the cabal within the main government that makes decisions that we have no control over as people in this country. So it brings a lot of important issues up regarding freedom and what's the role of government, what's the role of a democracy. Are we a democracy anymore?
Well, it doesn't feel like it now.
No, no, mm-mm. No.
Well, and I have only one vote. I don't have the influence to move hundreds of people. But I think that the younger people that are coming up now, you know, Ocasio-Cortez, people like that, that have the passion to overturn some of the things that they see as anti-democratic.
Right.
I think there may be a change. Because there's difficulty now. There's, you know, student debt is weighing down young people.
Right.
The high cost of anything now.
Right.
You know,
right.
Mortgages, especially debt. The whole debt situation in America is unbelievable.
Well, they keep the American people so busy.
Yeah.
Focused in on survival.
Yes.
That we don't, a lot of us people don't have, feel they don't have time to get involved in politics to make the country and the world a better place.
That's right.
You know, that's one of the problems. But in spite of all those difficulties, the light workers are winning out. The timelines have changed. We're not going to have a World War III or Armageddon now. And this agreement with the reptilians is going to be, is falling apart. Michael Sala said 3 years ago that the U.S. military now, especially the U.S. Air Force, is now cooperating with the positive extraterrestrials, the Galactic Alliance, and are not cooperating so much anymore with the reptilians.
Well, Corey Good said to David Wilcock about talking about the huge ships of the Alliance that are in our solar system that are being observed, that have come to help us through this transition.
Right. There's also over 2 million Pleiadian spacecraft, which came here after particle beam weapons murdered over 80,000 people in Paradise and in Malibu, California. That was not fires. That was sort of particle beam weapons.
Certainly looked like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pictures of looked like light beams coming down.
Yeah.
Yes.
The
I thought it was HAARP.
I'm not sure. What I was told, it was a joint action by the reptilians and a reptilian-controlled faction of the U.S. Air Force, which basically murdered over 80,000 American citizens. And nothing has been done about it, except that many of us light workers did call out for help. The Pleiadians have responded. I actually met the admiral in charge of the Pleiadian fleet here back in July at Mount Shasta, and he's here, and he's actually protecting me and many other light workers. So the days of the reptilians are very numbered. There's not many left now, and soon they'll be all gone from the planet. The planet itself is shifting.
Amen.
Into a higher dimensions, and negative extraterrestrials like the reptilians, negative people, members of the cabal, are not going to be allowed here anymore. I'm sorry, they've given their chance. There's a new sister planet of Mother Earth on the other side of the solar system that's been reserved for these negative entities, and from my understanding, they're going there to work out their own karma. They'll be there for one Mayan Kutun cycle or 25,800 years, and I wish them well. But they've been given a chance. They blew it. Now it's their time to evolve. Their energy is not eliminated. It's always just, they're given another chance to make the right decisions.
Well, it certainly seems like the end times, the whole sheep and goats thing, separating the people of goodwill from the people of evil.
Sure.
That is happening daily. You could almost see it.
Right.
And it's hard to work through all of the current political catastrophes that are happening.
Right.
But after reading your book, I actually feel better that this is just temporary, that it's not going to, you know, plunge us into war.
Ayesha, I want to go back to your reading you had.
Sure.
With remote viewing President Eisenhower. Besides the anger, did you get regret as well? Powerlessness? Frustration?
I felt the powerlessness and frustration. It was too, I was too much in the moment. I went back to the moment when that happened. I didn't have a time frame. I'm sure he felt regret. But at the time that I was available to witness, it was right at the moment. And he felt all of those frustration, shock, fury, disbelief, and just the tremendous anger, deep.
You know, in retrospect, he was actually visited 6 months before that visit by the Pleiadians, who offered spiritual advancement to President Eisenhower, but in exchange for getting rid of all our nuclear weapons. And Eisenhower refused, especially Richard Nixon was against it, because he, the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, liked weapons. And so they didn't want to do it.
Well, they still like weapons.
They still like weapons. They still like weapons. And that's a problem. Outside of this planet, my galactic friends tell me that nuclear energy, nuclear power, nuclear weapons are illegal, cannot be used.
Right.
There's no safe use for nuclear energy, nuclear technology.
Right.
Nothing. That's why it's not used outside of this planet. But I'm also told, too, that the reptilians actually gave Adolf Hitler and the U.S. government and the Japanese government the nuclear technology. They helped them get it because they wanted us to destroy ourselves.
Right.
And since World War II, of course, there were numerous times when either an American general or a Russian general, Soviet general, would fire a nuclear tipped missile at either country. But those launch sites were in the middle of were scrambled and shut down by the Galactics. Go ahead, your comment about seeing UFOs at nuclear launch.
Well, my understanding is that many of the reports, UFO sightings, that I've sort of kept up on over the years, have been done by military people who observed that the UFOs decommissioned or shut down the nuclear silo sites all around the West here.
Yeah, it did happen many, many times. And but now we're getting the kind of help that we need. Tell me, Ayesha, have you had any contact with President Eisenhower since you did that one remote viewing?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, and neither have I seen a UFO. Just briefly had one sighting, which I saw. But I have longed to be in contact with UFOs. I want to connect with them, but obviously they're busy with other people.
Well, if there's time later today, I'll teach you some things and point you out some ships in the sky.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll show you my Pleiadian friends and the kind of ships they have.
Cool.
The Pleiadian friends are like long rectangular craft with various lights on them. And once you spot them, you'll always be able to spot them. And you can communicate with them telepathically, too.
Okay.
They're there. The Galactic Alliance ships are a little different. The Sarah ships are sort of like a circular thing with five dots of light and a big bright white light in the middle of them. They're a little different, but they're all here. Of all the planets in the universe right now, what's happening here is right now the most exciting show in the universe, right here on planet Earth. And many extraterrestrial civilizations are watching all of humanity on this planet to see if we make the right choices. I hope for God's sake that we do this time. We had a chance back in the early 60s with President Kennedy to make this world a much better place, and we were headed for a better planet then. But of course, President Kennedy was murdered on November 22nd, 1963. But because it's our destiny on this planet to ascend into the higher dimensions and become a loving, kind, and benevolent planet, I know, I'm confident all the light workers now and people here on the planet will make the right choices.
Me too. I understood that many years ago, Drenvalo Melchizedek said that all of the other universe civilizations we're interested in what's happening on Earth, because most in times when in Earth's history, the number of people who have ascended has been rather small.
Right.
But here we have millions of people going to ascend, and that is unheard of in the universe. That is an event, which is why all of these other civilizations are watching us, because this is a pretty unique event that we're having now.
My friends, I hope you enjoyed that that interview with Ayesha. She's a fascinating lady. I've got a second segment of our interview, which I'll be playing next week. But in the meantime, I have the my sweetheart, Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project here. And she'll be giving a wonderful presentation starting in probably about a half hour, 40 minutes or so at the UFO Fest. Mitch, let's tell us a little bit about your work for people who don't know about the Moto Project.
Okay. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here again with you. I will be at the festival called Earth UFO Festival at Yelm. Is that Yelm or Lacey, Washington?
It's Olympia, actually.
Olympia, yeah. Washington. I will be talking about the message from water, as people have heard about this many times when I'm on. But I would like everyone to know that we are 70% water, and water has memory, and it carries information. It has the newest discovery, scientific discovery, is that water has a tunnel effect. That means water communicates with each other beyond time and distance. And our consciousness is so powerfully connected to water, and water carries our consciousness or intention or thoughts to wherever we direct, or to whatever we feel and how within ourselves. Then it creates the molecular level, whether it's a beautiful or ugly. And so the most important thing that we have to know is love and gratitude is the most beautiful energy that we are emitting to ourselves and to the earth and to other people, environment. And that's basically something that I'll be talking about.
I have to ask you this. Dr. Emoto was such an intelligent man. He thought that if you can teach children love and gratitude, that when they become older as adults, that they'll make this world a better place. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay.
I think that was great.
Yeah, thank you. Really, yeah, because, see, children are the future of the earth. And when children learn or know about water and how beautiful love and gratitude is, and how water is transmitting information, and our consciousness or our thoughts are affecting everything around us, I mean, including ourselves, then children will grow up in 10 years, 20 years. They will want to be living in love and gratitude and in harmony with everybody, with nature and everything. So Dr. Emoto said, well, then I will make 650 million children's books to distribute, to give to all children around the world for free of charge, and that's called Emoto Peace Project.
What was the reaction of you and everybody in the office after after his speech at the United Nations? It's a small office in Tokyo. When they found out that he'd promised to print off 650 million books, what was the reaction?
Yeah, well, we said, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? Where is the money coming from? How can we print 650 million children's books to just give for free of charge? And we almost went bankrupt, to be honest with you.
Oh, our goodness.
Office, we had more than 50 people, employees, but now we have only like 10 people working.
Sure.
But we are happy. We're happy. We continue to do this. It's been more than 13 years since Dr. Emoto first announced, and now we have 34 languages. I mean, this book is available in 34
wow.
languages,
wow.
and with the help of all the supporters around the world, we have been able to do this.
Now, for people here in the Seattle and Portland, Vancouver areas, you'll be giving a presentation in, I guess, in about 30, 40 minutes. Whenever you get over there, you'll give a presentation. And what will the presentation be about?
About message from water,
okay.
I think. Yeah,
okay.
that's what
okay.
Jane wants, I think.
Okay.
And that's
good.
My main presentation
oh, good.
Is.
Good. And you'll have your children's books available?
Yes,
too?
I'm bringing okay. about 50 books, so they're available.
Okay.
With donations, I would really appreciate donations, everybody's donations, sure. So I can continue to print children's books and reach 650 million books.
And tomorrow you're giving a presentation from noon to 2 o'clock, as mm-hmm. I understand.
For adults, well. Yes.
For adults, yeah.
At okay. the same, same festival. Event.
Now, also, too, you'll be available for Hado treatment sessions, is that right?
Yes, I will be at the venue, and I will be bringing my Hado machines. There are two kinds that I brought, but I will be using one machine, main machine, for helping people consult with the problems that they have.
Okay.
So, okay. yeah.
Now, you've talked about this on my show before, but tell us a little bit about Hado. And if people say they're just listening for the first time, what
okay.
you're talking about. What is Hado? What does that mean in English?
Hado means Hado means vibration in Japanese, or subtle energy that we, or waves. And Dr. Emoto said everything is vibration. As we know, once things are created, it has a sort of energy, we can say life. Mm-hmm. So they start to become old. Mm-hmm. And everything, even though we don't see it, we cannot see the energy. For example, I have my coffee cup right here.
Right.
My coffee cup is vibrating, mm-hmm. even though we cannot see, but it has vibration. Mm-hmm. And this table has vibration. It's vibrating. Everything is vibration. Right. And so whether it has a positive vibration or negative vibration, mm-hmm. it affects our surroundings. And also we, our consciousness and our emotions, our love, our gratitude are affecting everything around us, mm-hmm. around the everything.
Now, I don't want to give away the farm, but for people who cannot come to your lecture today,
mm-hmm.
you have these tuning forks,
mm-hmm.
and they're different frequencies. You have two at 440 hertz mm-hmm. and one of them at 442. Tell my listeners about what kind of experiments you do
in
the public. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, thank you. I always bring three tuning forks, two 440 hertz tuning forks, and one is a 442 hertz tuning fork. And what I do is to demonstrate what vibration is and how when we are vibrating at the very, very same frequencies, then we resonate. And when I hit 440, one of the 440s, the other 440 resonate and make sound, the same sound, even without hitting it. Mm-hmm. That's the law of vibration and resonance. Mm-hmm. And I tell them that when I would like to get along with Ted Marr, all I have to do is to vibrate at the same frequency as Ted is vibrating. And I try to be kind and nice and compassionate, understanding, forgiving. Then we can resonate at the same time. And that can be we can apply that for all other people.
Well, let me ask you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned this before, but about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. you were at my conference with your friend Shirichiro mm-hmm. Yoshinuchi. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Shirichiro okay. Yoshinuchi.
Okay,
yeah,
I got that right. Okay, uh-huh. good. I'm happy. I'm learning a little Japanese. Anyway, Shirichiro was one of Dr. Emoto's top students, and you and Shirichiro created this Hado water for a lady. She was in her late 60s. She hadn't mm-hmm. talked to her daughter in about 20, 25 years. And she wanted to get better relations with her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, better relationship. Because she was getting older, and she said, you know, I really miss my daughter. So what can you do? So I referred her on to you guys, and you created water. And tell us what happened after that.
After that, she...
Tell them the process first.
Okay.
Yes.
Using our Hado machine, what we did was to detect the root main cause why she has had the problem with this her daughter for so many years. That's a human relationship, the negative human relationship that is affected by her own negative emotions that comes from her subconscious mind, and that can be in karmic thing also. But what we did was with using this Hado machine, okay. we detected root cause. That's frequency.
I see.
And then what we did was we transmitted information to neutralize that frequency and imprinted water so that she can drink it.
Interesting.
And then she started to drink it. After that, her frequency and the root cause of the problem she had was started to be resolved. So her daughter called her.
Called her 2 days later, and ever since that, they've been gotten along great.
Mm-hmm.
There's another case I want you to tell people about, and it was a fellow in Australia who had stage 4 cancer, mm-hmm. lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. No. Skin cancer.
Skin cancer. Mm-hmm. And the doctors had given up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? To tell him to go write his will or something?
I don't think so. Said that.
But he had basically tried everything possible for Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And tell my listeners what you did for him.
Okay. I was traveling with you, Ted, giving the lectures together. And then he emailed me and said he had in severe pain, but he wanted to concentrate on this trip that he was going to make. So I said, with your permission, could I do a remote healing? And if you would like to give me the remote healing, I need you to send me your picture and what kind of problem you have, why you have that pain. So he explained and sent me his picture. And he about his cancer, skin cancer too, that he was taking the medicine and all that. So I said, okay, I will start to give you the remote healings every day from now. And I did it from the U.S. and also I did it from Japan. He was living in Australia. He lives in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about a month after that, he emailed me and he said he is completely gone. His cancer is completely gone. Of course, it was not only me. He wanted to heal himself also. So he was on his diet, like meditation, fasting, all that. But altogether, it really helped.
Well, that's amazing. And what is he doing today? Is he okay?
Yeah. We communicate with each other. He's fine. And he started his own business after that.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful story?
We met each other in person. He came to Tokyo and studied this Hado vibration in our institute, mm-hmm. became Hado instructor also, and now he's in Australia, back in Australia, started his own business.
And I want to emphasize the Hado, the techniques that you use is primarily a diagnostic technique,
mm-hmm.
and it has helped actually many people too.
With Dr. Emoto, more than 10,000 people.
Wow.
And his first disciple, Yoshi, who developed this Hado machine. Yoshi has been working with this Hado technique to heal people for over 23 years now.
Wow.
He's treated more than 20,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
With this machine. Yeah.
Wow, amazing, amazing. I think the success rate using traditional chemotherapy and drugs, surgery with cancer is only 3%, something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty dismal.
Well, now Japanese Cancer Association officially announced that chemotherapy or the chemotherapy for cancer does not work.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I know here in the United States, Big Pharma makes about $300,000 or more per chemotherapy patient,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work most of the time.
That's sad. You know,
it reminds me of bloodletting in the 11th century England, where doctors then thought that people got sick because of so-called bad blood. And what they would do, they'd drain a person's blood out.
Oh,
I mean, it's about the same thing of voodoo medicine that doesn't work. Yeah.
But, you know, from now on, I think instead of getting diseases, getting sickness, we are going to start preventing. We are going to, using these vibrational Hado machine, mm-hmm. we want to stay healthy and happy and positive emotion, compassionate and loving, so that we will not get diseases.
Right.
Angers and fears and insecurities and something that are in subconscious mind are creating those. So we will treat that.
5,000 years ago, doctors in Egypt said for every disease, there's a dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stress there's a spiritual component to it. There's a dis-ease causes disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was always, and if you treated the spiritual reasons why a person, for example, gets an illness, you can really help people out that way versus just topically treating.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I think for all adults to it's important for all adults to know that we want to raise children and give the environment, giving love and support and encourage. All these things will positive, loving actions will be helping children.
Mitchie, I want you to stay on because we've got to take a break now, okay. But we'll be coming back, friends, in just a few minutes. And we'll be having Mitchie on again at the top in a few minutes, and then we'll be followed by Scott Mowry, a wonderful investigative reporter. So please stay tuned, and we'll be back just a few minutes after this station break.